416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And the food references continue. Someone earlier today, and actually this did make us laugh, someone earlier today tweeted that a potato would have a better chance of getting hits than the bottom of the Blue Jays lineup today. And Jonah Carey, a frequent guest on Primetime Sports along the Sportsnet Radio Network, just tweeted that Dan Johnson is the only person slash seasonal gourd in the universe who could have broken the Yankee Stadium losing streak. So we got a potato at the bottom of the order, or we have a squash. Regardless, the Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 6-4. I'm Mike Wilner, taking your calls right up to the top of the hour, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, is 1-888-666-0590. We begin with David in Brampton, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. The streak is over.
The streak
is... I have a lot of faith in these guys. I mean, I know it's at the time of the year. There's a lot of fan, you know, jumping on the bandwagon, jumping off the bandwagon. And this is baseball. This is sport. This is why it's 182 games out of the year. And they're hanging in tough with the rest of the teams right now. Just waiting for some guys to come back off the injury and just continue to, you know, going out there each day and actually playing. And I think we'll have a really good chance of actually being in the playoffs this year.
Well, right now they're in a playoff spot at the moment. So that's a kind of a wonderful thing. And they're getting a bunch of reinforcements. Only 162 games. Kind of confusing hockey in there a little bit, but that's all right. They're getting reinforcements. Look, and people can whinge about, you know, the Blue Jays not trading for Chase Headley or not trading for Brandon McCarthy or Jake Peavy or anything like that. Guys that wouldn't really help them that much. They are getting Adam Lind back, Edwin Encarnacion, Brett Laurie, Nolan Reimold, all those guys over the course of the next couple of weeks, and that's going to help this team immensely. And they have managed to tread water without them to the point where they're still in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, definitely. And having a lot of these young guys coming in and filling in places, I think there's a little bit hard on Ghost and some of the other guys. But they're continuing to battle at it and hanging in there. And like I said, definitely I'm looking forward to the playoffs this year.
Well, let's hope. There's still a third of a season left, a little more than a third of a season left. But hopefully the Blue Jays will have all hands on deck for most of it, and it'll be pretty exciting. Thank you for the call. Let's go down to Bowling Green, Kentucky. I had a lovely late-night dinner at a Bob's Big Boy off of I-75 in Bowling Green, Kentucky, right after, I want to say, I don't remember which year winter meetings it was. It was in Nashville, 03, 04, whatever it was. So I'll always have a soft spot for Bowling Green. Michael, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
You're close, I-65. But
no, no, wasn't it really? Isn't it 75 straight shot, or is that still...
65, you were close, but I'll give it to you because, you know, you're not from this area.
Right.
So it's fine. Hey, you were close enough.
But you take 75 down to 65 from here to get to Kentucky.
Today, it doesn't matter because that monkey is off the back for Jays fans. And as big as it probably feels on the weight of Jays fans, on the weight of people like yourself, I'm sure for the team, this has got to be even a greater monkey off the back. And, you know, for a team that's trying to hang in this in the playoffs and right now tied for a playoff spot, I know it's July, but these are the kind of games that are really important from a mental standpoint to just kind of get over hurdles and keep breaking through when things are not looking at their best. You know, the one thing, though, today, and as great as today was, I still think, I know we've got Lynn coming. I know we've got Encarnacion getting healthy. I know Laurie Reimhold's coming back. I still think somehow we need to find a way to get a bat, especially a right-handed bat, because unfortunately, Gibby gets a lot of flack from some people sometimes for the management. But, you know, right now, particularly against left-handed pitchers and looking at today, his hands was tied there late. I mean, he had no choice because of what they had in the pen. And I just feel like even with everybody coming back, if we can get another right-handed bat to kind of help down the line, that could really help this team kind of get over this hump. But, hey, you know, for today. It was a great day, and good to see them win. Now let's see if they can get a series tomorrow.
Right, and they have won each of their last two series after losing the first game. So if that pattern continues, they will get that win tomorrow, but let's see. But it's a fair comment that they could use another right-handed bat even after everybody comes back. It depends on how much faith you have in Nolan Reimold, and honestly, I don't know that he inspires that much faith. He's a good hitter when healthy, just never healthy, and hasn't been a real factor in the major league since 2009. An interesting guy is Josh Willingham, and I was debating with somebody on Twitter who's very angry that the Blue Jays haven't traded for him now. I don't know by now. I don't know why you would be upset about the Blue Jays not having gotten a guy who's not been traded yet. Nobody else has gotten him either, and it means that either the asking price is too high and coming down, or, you know, nobody's willing to take him on. But Josh Willingham is a right-handed hitter who, even though he's only hitting .213 this year, he does crush lefties. He always has. He's got an 837 OPS against lefties this year, a .385 on base percentage. He would be a perfect fit to be a platoon DH with Adam Lind, and he gives you a bat against righties. It's also not terrible against right-handed pitchers, and maybe closer to July 31st, we see the Minnesota Twins interested in moving him, or even in August, the Blue Jays managing to make a waiver claim on him and pick him up. He would be a nice little addition. But once everybody's back, if you're satisfied with Reimold, then the only left-handed bat that the Blue Jays will have in the lineup against a left-handed starting pitcher will be the center fielder, whether that's Rasmus or Gose. So I'm not sure that it's a desperate need. I think it's a nice little bench add. The problem is everybody's not going to be back till after the trade deadline, so it's going to have to be a waiver type move. Thank you for the call. Trying to get to as many people as we can as we move to the top of the hour. Ben Ennis will be in this seat tomorrow while I'm up at Visitor's Day. That'll be a lot of fun. So you'll have fun with Ben tomorrow. Then you get me back on Monday when the Blue Jays open up with the Red Sox. Paul is in Cambridge listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. I just want to comment today on the Jays, their performance since the All-Star game. It's been very good. I remember calling in before the All-Star game during that terrible 2-8 road trip. And, you know, I said, yeah, the Jays not looking good, probably not going to make the playoffs. And after that, I did some looking back at previous J teams, and this team looks a lot like the 2010 Jays team, where they had a so-so April, a pretty hot May. They kind of fizzled out by the All-Star game. And then they started picking up steam again, and by the end of the season, they were 85-77. So, you know, it gives you confidence moving forward, and right now it's already improving. I like what I see. I thought Hutchinson pitched a really good game today, even though his last few starts haven't been good. I think he deserves a lot of credit today. And, yeah, that's all I want to say. You know, I will admit when I'm wrong. I was pretty negative. I'm trying to look at the positive. I see the outcome looks good for this team. I think they absolutely have a shot at a playoff spot. And, you know, I really do hope they can break the 21-year streak.
All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. It's very big of you to call, you know, a week and a half after saying they were done, to say you were wrong. I appreciate that, because most of the people who flip-flop so often never admit to it. So well done. But really, as I was saying 2 weeks ago, you know, you have to look at where they are in the standings. Where they are in the standings is just fine. And right now, they're in a playoff spot. And they're not playing well, although since the All-Star break, 6-3, so they're starting to play well again. But they don't have all hands on deck, which is a good thing that they're still in a playoff spot without their 4, 5, and 6 hitters. They beat the Yankees 6-4 today to snap a 17-game losing streak in the Bronx. Tim in Scarborough, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Mike. So I just had a question about the shift. I know there's been like a lot of talk about it and controversy and whatever, but I guess today I think someone bunted down the third base line.
Yes, Chase Headley did.
Yeah, and why aren't more people doing that instead of hitting into the extra base player that's on the right side, I guess?
You know, we discussed this on the show last night, too, and I really think it's because of the way male professional athletes are both built and cultivated in the macho culture of professional sports. It's seen as unmanly to bunt for a hit, even when they're giving you that entire side. You know, that's why Colby Lewis got so angry at Colby Rasmus last week, and he was screaming at him, swing the bat, because the insinuation is a real man would just hit through the shift and not take the cheap little single that this entire team is giving you by not putting any defenders on that side of the field. I hope that attitude changes, and I'd love to see everybody bunt on the shift all the damn time until teams stop shifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I'm just curious. It's the first time I've seen it happen, and it seems like it's kind of a no-brainer. So I'm surprised that, you know, more people aren't doing it. But that makes sense.
Thank you. I try, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, Chase Headley gets the cheap bunt single. So I'm pushing the agenda by calling it a cheap bunt single. But look, they're giving you a hit. Take it. Plain and simple. Everyone should be doing it, regardless of the score, regardless of the situation. If you are going to be handed a hit, take it. And if you don't want me to bunt against you, don't shift. Plain and simple. Patrick is in Peterborough. Patrick, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I listen every day. I just want to get right to the point. I just want to tip the cap to John Gibbons for not putting in Dustin McGowan today. I don't know why somebody hasn't called talking about this earlier. I'm just really glad he let Aaron Loop grind it out and then brought in Jansen. And if Loop's in trouble, why can't he bring in Jansen to get four outs?
He's not going to do that.
Why not?
Well, first of all, Casey's still not 100% right. But second of all, that's not the way John Gibbons runs his bullpen. And third of all, Dustin McGowan has been a really, really good late inning reliever for the Blue Jays. And if Aaron Loop had walked Brett Gardner there instead of striking him out, then McGowan would have come on to pitch to Derek Jeter before Casey Jansen got the ball in the ninth inning.
I don't know, Mike. I think his time's up. Like, McGowan's had his chance. I know everybody's going to hate me because he's the golden boy for the Blue Jays. He's overcome all this adversity, but now he's found himself in the bullpen, and he's not getting the job done. I don't think he's been a very good right-hander, and I've seen him blow, like, what, two games, three, and almost blow a fourth.
Three blown saves. He's got three blown saves. So does Aaron Loop.
But I'm talking four-run leads with one swing of the bat.
No, you're not, though, because he hasn't done that.
Okay, well, he came up once and they ended up winning that game, and he blew, like, I think it was a 3-run lead. I listen to the radio. I don't watch the TV.
He did.
Yeah.
But you know,
he's
Dustin
done,
McGowan.
Man. He can still throw 95. I give him credit for that, but he's got no place here because he's going to lose games, and they need to make a trade now. If they want to trade Sanchez, if they want to trade whoever, they need to make a trade now because you're right. They're in a great spot.
Do you want to, Patrick, do you want me to tell you how wrong you are, or do you just want to look it up yourself?
No, I'm not going to look anything up. I know you got a laptop. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. Dustin McGowan, in his last nine outings, has allowed runs twice. Batters are hitting .167 against him in the month of July. For the season, as a reliever, Dustin McGowan has an ERA of .273. He's allowed 26 base runners in 26 innings with 24 strikeouts. So, just so you know, everything you just said was wrong.
The saves he's blown have been crucial.
No.
I'm talking,
there are no games that are more crucial than any other
game. My heart drops every time the guy's warming up.
Okay, but that's your...
I almost cried.
But, Patrick, that's your problem. Because that's not, you know... Dustin McGowan has three blown saves this season. Aaron Loop has four.
They would have been four today if they put him in, I can guarantee you.
Right. Thank you for the call. Come on. Andrew is in Sarnia. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Andrew.
Hi, Mike. Thanks very much for taking my call. Big fan of the show and love what you do. Just going to get right to the point. I know Sanchez has only had one appearance, but because he really dominated really good hitters, do you think that his trade value has increased? And, you know, maybe given some other teams a better look at him and what he can do and his potential.
Yeah, it's increased marginally. I mean, it was already super, super high as, you know, the big-time pitching prospect who throws in the high 90s. And I mentioned before he got here, most guys never have any more trade value than they do before they've made an appearance in the major leagues. But because he pitched so well, I think that confirmed the belief in a lot of people of just how good he can be. So certainly his trade value didn't take a hit. It might have gone up a little tiny bit.
All right. Do you think, you know, with him being as good and, you know, the Jays pen being as, you know, it's had its struggles throughout the season, and I feel like he might be able to help them coming out of the pen. You know, do you think at this point they'd be even able to move him and get something in fair return back?
Oh, of course. So, I mean, I'm not, he's not a guy that I'd be looking to move by any means, but yeah, you can get a fair return back for him. You're probably going to wind up getting an unfair return back for him because of the prospect value and the fact that, you know, the rate of prospects who don't wind up working out. The truth of the matter is you're going to get a ton for Aaron Sanchez if you trade him, but you can't trade him unless you get a ton for him. And I don't, you know, I don't know that David Price is going to be available. Would I trade him for John Lester? Sure, I'd trade him for John Lester. But beyond that, you got to do really, really well to move him.
Yep, all right. Thanks so much for taking my call, and great show. Love it.
All right, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Apologies to all those of you to whom we could not get. The board's still pretty full, but we're out of time. Ben Ennis will be in this seat tomorrow, and he will Blue Jays talk it up with you after the finale of the Jays and Yankees series. The Blue Jays with a chance to win a series in New York and move into sole possession of the second wild card in the American League. Right now, they're tied with the Yankees for second place in the East, 3.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles, who currently are in Seattle in a 0-0 game in the bottom of the third. We'll get you set for the series finale. Put a nice pretty bow on this thing as we continue with the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Baseball Control, celebrations in Blue Jays land. They beat the New York Yankees 6-4, a win in New York. Hasn't happened since August 29th, 2012, a span of 17 consecutive losses for your Toronto Blue Jays, but that streak is now over. And the Blue Jays are back tied with the New York Yankees for second place in the American League East, 3.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles, tied for the wild card, the second wild card in the American League, one game ahead of the Seattle Mariners. Those Orioles and Mariners are playing each other right now. It is 0-0 in the bottom of the third in Seattle. Just a note, right now on Sportsnet television, they're playing a documentary called Scout's Honor, which is the story of Mel Didier, who currently works in the Blue Jays front office as a senior advisor. It is brilliant. I saw it yesterday. He has been in baseball, Major League Baseball, since 1948, scouting and, you know, kind of solely responsible almost, besides Kirk Gibson, jointly responsible for one of the greatest moments in baseball history, the Kirk Gibson home run. Against the Oakland A's in the 1988 World Series. It's definitely worth a look. Tomorrow, this series will wrap up. Jay Happ gets the ball against Shane Green. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 1:10 first pitch. Ben Ennis will be sitting in this seat. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership with the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, bye-bye.